Hello, I'm Marty.
And I'm Effie, and we are Mums, Mysteries and Murder, a true crime podcast that focuses on true crime and mysteries from Australia and Scotland.
This April, we're coming to the official CrimeCon event partnered by True Crime. It's happening in Glasgow on the 27th of April, and we are so excited to be joining some of our favourite podcasters and true crime experts for the True Crime event of the year in Scotland.
You can get your exclusive Mums, Mysteries and Murder discount by heading to the official website, crimecon.co.uk, and use the code MUMS10.
It's the perfect Mother's Day gift for all true crime loving mums. We'll see you there. And welcome to Mums, Mysteries and Murder. I'm Marty.
And I'm Effie.
And this is going out in April.
So April,
Easter,
I think,
will have gone. Mm-hmm. How was your Easter? Was it good?
It was amazing. I got 20 chocolate eggs.
Oh my God. The Easter Bunny was so kind to you.
I know. It was amazing. What a heat wave we had as well.
I know. I've got such a good tan. I'm lighting up the screen right now. She can barely look at me.
I mean, I am, but it's all from a bottle. The colour of my face is different from the colour of my neck, which is, yeah.
Why are you fake tanning? That's not like you.
I don't know. Just because I look like I'm possibly going to walk through lampposts if I don't. So ghostly white.
That's not good. I do like a fake tan on your face, though. It does make you feel better. Like you've got makeup on already.
It does, but it's that limit where, well, I do my makeup in the morning when it's quite dark and not proper lighting. And then as the day goes on, I'm like, oh, wow. I've probably gone a bit overboard here.
I was enthusiastic this morning.
I know. Oh, dear. How have you been?
Oh, good. I've been good. Yes. What have we been up to? I don't know. By the time this goes out, we'll have been to Leeds. We're going for a little visit to Leeds for
Easter.
Are
you? Oh, yes. That's exciting.
It's so exciting. I'm going back to visit Charlene. So we used to live in Leeds.
You used to live there, yeah.
Yes, and I'm going back to visit my friend that I used to work with and taking the dude down there. So that'll be good.
Oh, that'll be great. It's such a cool city, isn't it?
I love Leeds. It was too cool for me, though. When I lived there, I never felt like I had the right outfit on or... Do you know what I mean? And we're going to go to Whitby. Have you been to Whitby before?
Not been to Whitby, but I've heard that it's good. Good fish and chips.
Ah.
Fish and chips. I don't know what's happened to my voice.
It's the whole Dracula thing in Whitby, isn't it?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Have you been there before?
No. I'm very keen to go.
No, it'll be lovely.
Yeah. I've not been to Scarborough either. Have you been to Scarborough?
I haven't been to Scarborough. I've not really been to that neck of the woods at all, actually. I've been to Harrogate, which is a little bit further north.
No,
I don't think
nice.
I've ever been to Leeds, but yeah, I've heard it's really nice. Really cool. Excellent. Actually, the Leeds thing reminds me of a documentary that you told me to watch, which was The Push, Murder on the Cliff.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah, that was so awful. So that is the case where Fozawa,
yes,
I can't remember what her surname, got pushed over the cliff by her husband, and they were from Leeds.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was just appalling. Like seeing what they have to go through in court is just so awful.
It's funny that that was on just after we were talking about it and we just covered that episode at Salisbury Crags.
Yeah, so that's definitely one to watch. And how amazing was the mum, innit?
Yes.
She's just so brave.
It's such a sad story and you kind of think like how was he going to get away with that because there was no witness. But then the fact that she said that he had pushed her and to keep her husband away from her.
I know, she was actually amazing. Yeah, and all the stuff that she had recorded and things beforehand. Like, well done her doing that. I mean, I wish she just had got it out. You just think of all these women that are in horrible, horrible situations and they're just stuck. It's just, it was a really good documentary.
Yeah, it was really well done. Well, have you been watching anything else?
Just that one. Did you watch Saltburn, which is probably like ages ago that's been out now? This case that I'm doing today has got Saltburn vibes.
Has it?
It does. I think it does. Well, you can let me know if it doesn't. I think it does.
Does that mean there's a naked man dancing around at the end with his dick
there
out?
Might be.
For far too long. That went on for far too long. I was laughing. I'm like, brilliant. This actor's brilliant for doing this. That was a hard day at work, literally. But it just kept going and going, didn't it?
I can't actually. I think, like,
how can you not remember,
like,
that?
Picked up on the, like, Murder on the Dance, like, yeah, that song with him doing the dancing. But, like, I don't, that wasn't the most memorable part of the film.
No,
for
but
me.
It did go on for quite a long time.
I probably just switched it off. Maybe I just, because it was right at the end, wasn't it?
Why would you switch that off?
Because that's the end. Like,
yeah,
I knew.
But he's dancing.
I knew what happened.
You. I was like, what else is going to happen?
I don't actually remember. Yeah, I don't remember. Maybe what is wrong?
God.
I think I probably just switched it off.
But that was the last scene
I was
of the
like,
film.
I was like, oh, that's him. He's got the house. He's doing his naked dancing.
I mean,
that's
we've ruined
it.
The film for anyone that hasn't seen
I know,
it. But
oh,
do you
God,
know what?
Sorry, yeah.
No, do you know what? It's too
probably
bad. It came out in December. It's now April.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was ages
I
ago.
I think it came out in November, actually.
Oh, my goodness. Great yeah. acting in it, though. The acting was amazing.
He was amazing. Did
really
you know
good.
The other guy, the rich guy, is actually Australian?
Oh, no, I didn't know
the
that.
The one he's got a crush on, yeah.
The main
yeah. He's very good
character.
Looking.
Oh.
The rich
yes.
guy, not Barry, I want to say Keegan,
yeah,
but it's
no,
not
the one that he's, the one that he...
The rich
oh,
kid.
I'll give it away. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm saying I'll give it away, because I've already given away what the very
it
end
was
of it.
A great film. We had a lovely message on our Instagram, and I feel like we should say hello to Wayne, other Wayne. We have
oh,
two
yes,
big fans
I know,
called
that's
Wayne,
lovely.
Who got in touch to say that he binged all of the episodes.
Oh, bless.
He's a painter.
Thank you so much, Wayne.
Imagine being a painter and you just listen to podcasts all day
I
while
know.
You're painting. I mean, being a painter is still pretty stressful and it's very physical, but that
yeah.
would be so good, like, just be able to listen to podcasts all day.
Any painters I've used, they've always got on the music.
Yeah.
The music.
Because you're an old person on your gramophone.
I've never heard anyone listen to podcasts. So go him for a listen to ours. That's amazing.
I know. How did he even find us? And
I
he's
know.
Listening all the way from Dallas, Texas. So I feel like we should do a yee-haw.
Wow. Absolutely brilliant.
Do you think he's listening with a cowboy hat on? Wayne, are you listening with a cowboy hat on? Possibly.
Maybe.
That's very stereotypical.
Cowboy boots?
What did she say?
Cowboy boots.
Cowboy boots.
Cowboy
boots. She's so excited she's lost the power of speech, Wayne. That's what you've done to us.
That was a lovely message. Thank you for
that.
That
was really lovely. Thank you so much for getting in touch
yeah.
to tell us that you're listening. We should mention as well, I don't know if this is going to come out before CrimeCon. I think it probably will.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Which
okay.
is happening on April the 27th at the Hilton in Glasgow. If you're in the UK, if you're in Scotland, we would
mm-hmm.
love to see you at CrimeCon.
Come along. It's going to be brilliant.
It's the whole day of listening to people who actually know what they're talking about, as opposed to us, who quite
yeah.
often don't know what we're talking about. And it's at, yeah, the Hilton in Glasgow on April the 27th. And if you use the code MUMS10, you will get a discount on your ticket. Woohoo!
Which is awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be so good. So good. Okay, are you ready?
Yes,
I think this one
stuck
might be
in.
A long one. Yes.
I mean, you had me at Saltburn, so, you know.
I know, I've got your hopes up and it's like...
You have got my hopes up.
You're going to be expecting a dancing man at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not sure. Okay, so anyway, this came about by the other Wayne, who's from Erie, Edinburgh, suggesting it because he did a recent YouTube video on the Blanket Place haunting.
Yes.
And he mentions this case in his YouTube. And if anyone hasn't actually looked at his YouTube, it's amazing. It's so good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do wonder why he listens to us, because he's like super professional.
He's got a podcast as well, though, as well. So if people are
yeah.
really into podcasts, you can just go listen. Erie Edinburgh, it's fantastic.
Totally.
Yeah.
It is. It's really good.
I know. He has a very different approach to us, and he has a more calming voice than us.
Oh, such a good voice. Yeah, he doesn't do as much singing, I don't think.
No. Although he
yeah.
he did the collaboration episode with us, so I'm sure a lot of our listeners are probably already listening to him. Yeah.
That's true. So this is the 1893 Ardlamont mystery. It's also known as Ardlamont Murder or Monson Case. So I've got lots of sources for this. So there's actually been a book written about it. So the book is Ardlamont Mystery, The Real Life Mystery Behind Sherlock Holmes by Daniel Smith. The Poisoner Cabinet podcast I just stumbled across when I was doing some research on this, and it's brilliant. Oh my god, you need to listen to that.
What a great name for a podcast.
Yeah, they're so good. They're really funny, but also like they do lots of research on their cases as well. So really good. I would totally recommend that. Got the Scotsman, the National, the Daily Mail, obviously.
Yes, standard.
ElizabethBunce.com. And the Surgeons Hall Museum website as well. So lots of stuff on this case. As I say, it goes back to 1893 to an estate called Ardlamont, which is in Kames, which is in Argyll and Bute.
I love the way Scottish people say Argyll. Argyll. It's not Argyll. Like I say Argyll.
Why, what do you say?
I'll just say Argyll.
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 Argyll. Oh, you sound so Scottish there.
Did I?
Yeah, go on, say it again.
Check me. What, in your accent or in my own accent? Because I just say Argyll.
In my accent.
Oh, Argyll.
Argyll.
Do you know why I've got a thing about
that's
that?
That's brilliant.
Because just before we started recording, we're talking about an event I go to in Glasgow, and I was trying to find Argyll Street.
Oh my god, I forgot about this. Yes,
and they were really Scottish. I had to ask some workers on the side of the road because I was a bit lost, even though it's a main street and you'd be stupid to not be able to find it. But yes, when I said Argyll, do you know where Argyll Street is? And they were like, Argyll.
I think you sent me a voice note with that written in it.
Yes,
or
I
you
did.
Sent me a message going, can you just say that word?
Yes, yes. That's right. That was
with
the day.
No other context. I was like, yeah, okay. And I just did it as
anyway.
Well. I was like, yeah. Okay, so this is an estate in Argyll and Bute. Argyll and Bute is like a peninsula off the west coast of Scotland, and it's absolutely beautiful. I had a little Google search, and there's a big like country house in the middle of this estate.
Oh, wow.
And it's huge, and the country house itself you can actually rent out. It's like a holiday letting out, which is looks like it's amazing. Like, what a fantastic idea if you want to have like a big birthday party or even like a wedding, maybe. That would be quite a nice place to go. Anyway, so there are two main characters in this case, along with another chap. So I'm going to take you through the main...
Two main characters. Is this an Agatha Christie?
Well, there's like a sort of... I know. Character. what do you call... People. I could just say people,
I mean, you
people,
could just call
I?
Them people, yeah. Because that's what
there's
they are.
There's two main people. In this case, yeah. Characters, why did I say that? Well, they are characters, to be fair.
Okay.
They've got a lot going on. So first of all, there is Alfred Monson. So Alfred was born in 1860, and he was the son of Reverend Thomas John Monson, and his wife, the Honourable Caroline Isabella Monktok. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but she sounds very posh.
She does sound very posh. That is a name, isn't it?
I know. She's the daughter of the 5th Viscount Galway.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't know really what a Viscount is, but they sound like...
And they're like a duke, but like a more full-on version.
I don't know what all the titles mean. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's something like that. They've definitely got a wine cellar.
Yeah. They're all classy people, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So Alfred married Agnes Day in 1881, and they had three children together. By 1893, Alfred was 32 at the time, and he was working as a private tutor for a wealthy... How do you say this?
Aristocracy.
Aristocratic. There we go.
Okay.
Aristocratic English family, who were called the Hamburghs. So he'd been working as a tutor for the previous 2 years. And prior to that, Alfred had been kind of a little bit sketchy, a little bit like the last story that I did on the German guy that eventually went and pushed his newlywed off a cliff. He had a little bit of a kind of dodgy history. So he had taken part in insurance frauds, failed business ventures, and he was skipping out on his debts. But somehow he had managed to convince this very wealthy English family that he was the perfect person to be the tutor of their son.
Okay.
Okay, so that takes me to the second character. The second person in this case.
I feel like I'm going to be tested on this at the end. It's quite full on, isn't it?
So there's quite a lot of, like names in this. Okay. I'm just going to, so I'll go through everybody, okay. But it's basically these two people, Alfred and then Cecil.
Okay.
They're the main people.
You never get Cecils anymore, do you? No one names their baby Cecil.
I feel like this is why it's got like sort of slight Saltburn vibes, because I feel like there would have been a Cecil in that story.
And everyone gets killed and then they dance around in the nude. We've definitely ruined Saltburn for people that haven't seen it. Sorry.
I mean, you don't have to watch the dancing. You could just like switch it off at that point and go and make yourself a cup of tea.
Why wouldn't you watch the dancing at the end? Why?
I can't believe I just completely, I was on for ages and I just was like,
it just
kept
going.
Oh my God.
That
was
the brilliance of it. Just when you thought it was finished, nope, another room. And then another room.
Oh my God. How did I miss that whole?
No, you need to go
back
and watch
it. Is that why the murder in the dance floor thing was such a big,
yes.
Oh my God. Like what? I don't know what's wrong with me then.
I mean,
I must have just, I think I just switched off.
Do you
oh
know
my
what?
God.
To be fair, I think, and this is my social media stuff kicking in, I think the whole murder on the dance floor thing was just a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon of that song because it was trending. And I don't think probably 50% of those people have actually seen Saltburn.
Just as an aside, I know we're probably like already taking ages.
I mean, we're 50% asides on this podcast, so that's fine. Go ahead. Don't tell me you've got a fifth character.
I mean, how annoying is it when there is like a song that's always on everything.
Yes.
On social media. So the murder on the dance floor thing. Do you know what winds me up the most now is that Beyonce.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. Texas Hold'em.
I actually like both of those songs, but it's like every post is like, oh,
it's too much.
It's just, and you only hear a tiny little bit of it as well. It's just, it's too
and
much.
And it makes you scroll on. I actually did an Instagram story about this recently and said, no, it was in my newsletter. The reason I will never use Beyonce's Texas Hold'em in a reel, because I'm so sick
you
of seeing
literally,
it.
Literally, yeah,
and
you do.
It doesn't even make sense to what they're like what they're talking about. Like they're not even talking about cowboy boots. Don't have Texas Hold'em as the song. We've really offended Wayne now in Texas.
Fair enough. No,
Wayne
to
should
be, fair,
be using
Wayne,
it.
Wayne could absolutely be using it.
Wayne, we'd like to see a reel of you dancing naked around the house, Saltburn style, with Texas Hold'em, just cowboy boots and a hat, strategically placed.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! Imagine if
I might
did that.
Skip through it. To be honest.
She's going to watch all of that.
I know. I just won't realize that that's the...
Oh
I haven't
God,
watched the end of it.
So inappropriate. We're sorry, Wayne. But, you know, if you feel like doing that, that would be a good reel. Anyway, let's get back to the story.
Okay, so we've gone through Alfred's, okay? And now I want to just take you through his pupil.
Okay.
Who was called Windsor Dudley Cecil Hamborough. So he's the second kind of person in this case and the most significant person in the case, really.
Okay.
And he's Alfred's pupil.
What do you mean by he's Alfred's people?
Oh, pupil.
Oh,
he's
pupil.
His student.
I thought you were saying people, like Pan's people. They're going to come in and dance. It's all about, I think we need to name this episode The Dance, Dance. Anyway,
I know we've been doing a lot of dancing.
Right, pupil, yes, okay.
Yes, so Alfred was tutoring Cecil, who was actually 20 years old at the time. And I don't understand why he's still got a tutor at the age of 20. I don't know why he isn't like just going and getting a job. And
yeah, that does
I
seem
don't
weird.
Understand why he's so old.
Because they worked from like 13 or 10, didn't
I know.
Then, yeah, that is
I
weird.
Think maybe like posh people, it's different rules. I don't know.
We have offended so many people in this podcast already. Posh people,
so sorry.
Texan people.
Sorry if you're posh.
Scottish people.
Sorry if you're called Cecil.
With my bad
if
accent.
You're Beyonce.
Yeah, she can handle it. It's
or
fine.
Sophie Ellis Bextor. Then really sorry about that too. So Cecil's dad was Major Hamborough.
Okay.
So again, he's of a really kind of wealthy family. And he had hired Alfred in 1890 to tutor his son. It does sound like Cecil was possibly a little bit of a tearaway. he caused a lot of kind of mischief and things. So kind of reading between, I've got not a lot of evidence to support this, but just kind of reading between the lines, it sounds like maybe Alfred was there to tutor Cecil just to be a little bit more sensible.
Okay.
So although Major Hambra did have a big estate and came from like a wealthy family, he was in quite a lot of financial problems. And it seems like Alfred maybe took advantage of this. Cecil actually went to live with Alfred and his family in Yorkshire for his education.
Oh.
And again, I think that was maybe to get him away from the city and to kind of get him on the straight and narrow. But there were some of the sources sort of saying that Cecil possibly was having an affair with Alfred's wife. Ooh. So I'm not sure how much he was sort of settling down. Anyway, after the 2 years of tutoring, there was a little bit of a rift between the major and his son. And although the major tried to convince his son to come home, Cecil insisted on staying with his tutor. However, by 1892, Alfred was bankrupt and he, along with Cecil, were relying on the support of friends and others that were interested in the Major Hambra's estate. So it's all kind of quite like interlinked, and it seems like they were keeping it all quite hush-hush as well. So they were like, although they were in both sides quite a lot of like financial difficulties, they were kind of still maintaining appearances as if everything was fine and like living quite sort of lavish lifestyles.
Okay. And they were like relying on friends and stuff.
Yeah.
That's like Harry and Meghan now, isn't it? Apparently.
Oh, poor Harry and
They're
Meghan.
They're not like doing so well money wise.
Are they not?
You know, Netflix, well, for a normal person, they're rich as fuck.
Yeah.
But
oh my God.
That's the technical term.
Give me a favour. Yeah.
But yeah, I think because I was reading the other day about, you know, the Netflix deal and the podcast and all that sort of fell through, and they're sort of like, sort of insinuated that they were relying on friends for like trips and like staying with rich people in America and all that sort of stuff. You know, like different parts of America, they're going to stay in their vineyard and all that shit.
Okay. They're going to phone up Oprah.
Yeah. So they're doing a Harry and Meghan. Nice.
There's also the whole thing at the moment, which is probably by the time you're listening to this, there's going to be like an update on it, but the whole conspiracy theories on what's happened to Kate, Princess Kate. Have you been following that?
Yeah, she posted that photo, didn't she, on the weekend? And this is going to be very out of date. She posted the photo for Mother's Day that, have you not seen this?
I did see it and it looked fine.
That they're saying that she'd Photoshop bits because I think Charlotte's skirt looked a little bit skew-whiff or something. And then she had to come out and she didn't have to, but she came and like made a comment and sort of apologised and said, you know, just like everyone else, we do a bit of Photoshop. She only took a photo.
Right.
Who cares?
Okay.
But do you know what's hilarious? The internet has lost its mind and everyone is using the photo to superimpose themselves into the picture. You need to go and have a look.
I saw some memes. Yeah, I did see some memes of that.
I mean, this is going to be so old by the time this comes out.
Oh, dear.
There's probably five
right,
other
anyway.
Things that have happened by the time this comes out. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Hopefully not bad things. So in May of 1893, I was going to say on the something of May, but I actually don't know when the date in May it was. Alfred, so remember Alfred is the tutor, decided to take out a lease on the Ardlamont estate in Argyllshire. He didn't actually take it out in his own name. He took it in Cecil's name and used his reputation to rent it out. The idea was that Alfred and his family would lease the estate for the hunting season, which lasts from July through to October.
Okay.
And then Cecil would join them in August. So, like, again, they don't seem to have an awful lot of money, but then they're going off and, like, leasing out an estate.
That's
with,
a
like,
long time as well.
I know, to go hunting. So it's very, like, I don't know if they just didn't care. Alfred was just like, I'm just not, I'm just going to go and enjoy my life and not really
maybe
worry
it's
about
like
the bills.
The keeping up appearances thing. So then
people think
that
like
you're
that.
Really rich. And then, do you know what I mean? You get more work and they think you're really successful. And I don't know.
I think so.
Maybe.
Okay, so remember I had said that there was two main characters or people, and then there was an extra. There was a little extra person that was like a little mystery. So now I'm just going to talk a little bit about this extra person.
Okay.
So on the 8th of August, by which time Alfred was there with Cecil, So they were all there.
Okay.
A chap called Edward Scott arrived. So he's the third person in the story. And there's a little bit of a mixed picture on who Edward actually was in all the sources. So one of them said that he was like an engineer, and another one of the sources said he was a friend of the family. So he's a little bit of a mysterious character.
Could he not have been an engineer and a friend of the family?
He might have been, but not entirely sure.
Okay.
I think he was more likely to be like a friend of the family than just some random that came up. Because what ended up happening is on the 10th of August, so a couple of days later, mm-hmm. Alfred, Cecil, and then Edward went off on a hunting trip. So in Scotland and in the Highlands, and you still get it today, but like in the past more so, you'd get these kind of wealthy families that would come up to estates and they would hire them out for the whole summer, and they would go off and they would hunt deer and grouse, and they'd go off fishing, and they would just basically have a jolly good time. I'm pretty sure that's the words that they would use. So that's what basically Alfred's decided to do.
Okay.
Even though he's just a tutor to this rich family. So they went off on this hunting trip, and within minutes of departure, workers in the estate heard a gunshot and saw Alfred and Edward return to Ardlamont House alone. So it's just the two of them that came back. And then this is where we get a bit of confusion again. Edward and Alfred explained that Cecil's shotgun went off accidentally and killed him. So they said it was an accident. They reportedly found Cecil at the bottom of a small ditch and carried him upwards to beside a wall where they left him. But later they found that Cecil wasn't actually shot by the gun that he used, but Alfred's gun was used instead. As soon as the two survivors got back to the house, they removed the cartilages from the gun and then informed the staff what happened. They then cleaned their guns, and it was only after that point that they actually reported the accident to the police.
What?
So it's all looking slightly sketchy.
So what did they say? What did they say to the staff when they came back?
They went to the house, mm-hmm. and they said that three of them had gone off and Cecil had accidentally shot himself.
But are they not wondering where Cecil is? Like, they've just left him in the woods.
Well, so, yeah, so hold on, because I've covered it a little bit later on.
Ah, okay.
So the staff actually went out.
That's okay, we can get to it. Do you know what's messy about that, though? If you were going to go out and you'd planned it, because it sounds like they've planned it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't they just shoot him with his gun and then give him the gun back?
Take it off them.
Yeah.
I don't know if they...
Just go, can I see your gun for a minute? And then shoot him, just so it, like...
With the gun and then drop it.
Matches the story.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Anyway, okay, sorry, continue.
Okay, so the staff did go out and go down to Cecil's body, but I'll cover that a little bit later.
Yeah.
The local doctor came out, signed the death certificate as an accidental self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. And then Edward, who's the kind of third sort of random person, just went off. He just left and he wasn't seen again.
What? There's so many problems with this story. Also, if you're going hunting, not that I've ever gone hunting or would I don't even eat venison because I love deer so much.
Oh.
Didn't they have those big, wouldn't it be a big hunting, people can't see my hands,
yeah,
but wouldn't
they've
it be
got
a big
rifles.
Hunting gun? So how can you shoot yourself in the head? Because you've got to like pull it right back and then be like, that does not work. Did they not question
that? You should have been in the court, Marty. Because that is exactly what they got questioned on. So Edward went off, never to be seen again.
Okay.
Well, he was eventually found.
Yeah.
And poor Cecil got taken away back to his family's house on the Isle of Wight and was buried. So for some reason at that stage, everyone's just thinking, oh, well, that's terrible. It's just an accident.
Mm-hmm.
But then there seems to be like quite a lot of other things that start adding up to be quite suspicious. So the night before the accident, Cecil and Arthur had gone out fishing. So he used a rowing boat to go out fishing, but the rowing boat had been tampered with and it actually had a hole in it. Cecil couldn't swim and the boat actually sank, but fortunately it was quite close to the shore, so there wasn't any harm done. But that was like the day before the hunting accident.
Oh,
so
my God.
There's a little bit of
what's
going on
suspicious,
here.
Suspicious, isn't it?
I know.
If that was a TV show, you'd be like, oh, come on.
He's obviously done it. Well, there's even more, but you're going to be so shocked at the end of this because, yeah. So, to add to the suspicion, it turned out that prior to the fatal hunting trip, Alfred had managed to somehow, and I don't know how he'd managed to do this, take out two separate life insurance policies on Cephal's life
to
the sum of £20,000. So the sum of money was to be paid to Alfred's family if Cecil had died as payment for all his time that he had spent tutoring Cecil.
Okay.
But it was at this point that the kind of life insurance company's going, wait a minute, this looks slightly dodgy. Why is he taking out like life insurance? He's just the tutor. He's like the random tutor. He's not even a member of the family. Mm-hmm. So on the 23rd of August, two officials from the life insurance company arrived at Ardlamont to investigate the claims on Cecil's two life insurance policies. At this point, I kind of am like, there's been quite a few cases where it's actually been like some kind of accountant in a life insurance company that's like been like, hold on, because that I'm sure was the case for the last one that I did as well. It wasn't until like the life insurance people came in and were like, this looks a bit dodgy, that then the police are like, oh yeah, actually this does look a little bit dodgy. Anyway, the police actually arrested Alfred on the 29th of August because they agreed that it all looked a little bit suspicious. He'd taken out life insurance.
Okay.
And then there had been like an attempt on Cecil's life. And then there was actually this apparent hunting accident. So Cecil's body was then exhumed and a post-mortem was conducted by the original doctor called to the scene, who was called Henry Duncan Littlejohn. The trial of Alfred's murder then started on the 12th of December, 1893, and it lasted for 10 days.
Wow. That's a long trial for back then, isn't it? Do you think?
I think it was the trial's pretty good because it was the first time that they really, like, pulled on lots of different forensic experts at the time. So I don't know how much that had been done in the past. But certainly, I think in Scotland and the UK, it was one of the first like cases where they actually like called on expert witnesses.
Oh, wow.
So there's lots of stuff on the actual trial. I actually went to the Surgeon's Hall a couple of weekends ago, and one of the expert witnesses that they used was trained at the expert at the Surgeon's Hall.
Oh,
so the Surgeon's Hall in Edinburgh.
You've been there a lot. Why were you going there a few weekends ago? Was it open? Did they have like an open day?
I took the kids, obviously.
Because
why would you not go and like show your kids like little deformed lungs?
But it's really creepy. Yeah, exactly. I don't even want to go in there.
It's really good. I mean, there's loads and loads and loads of jars of like organs and things.
Were they not traumatized?
I mean,
she has to think about that. She's thinking about that.
They were a little bit traumatized, but I just said that they were really realistic looking replicas.
Okay, so it was all fake. Okay.
Yeah, so they weren't so bad, but it's such a good museum.
Because do you know the podcast All Killer No Filler with Kiri and Rachel?
Yeah.
Rachel has been, and she was like saying how horrific it was. And sort of telling Kiri, I think she was telling Kiri not to go because it's so horrific. And that has put me off ever going. Because if Rachel thinks it's horrific, I can't handle it. It's not for me if she thinks it's horrific.
Oh, I mean, it's a bit gruesome. I think you could handle it.
What's the worst thing you've seen in there? Because it's famously got Birkin Hare's skin.
Yeah, it does have that.
But what's like the worst thing in there?
I think it's pretty bad because it's obviously like specimens that doctors can use to look at kind of quite bizarre diseases and study them and stuff like that. So there was kind of like deformed feet and then feet with gangrene on them and things like that, which is just a bit like, oh!
Okay, that's not so bad. Isn't there much worse stuff than that though?
I think that's the worst.
Isn't there like deformed baby fetuses and stuff like that in there?
I didn't see any, thankfully. Oh, okay. You're not allowed to take any pictures or anything like that because obviously like it's actually parts of people that have been alive. So maybe they've taken out things that are too sensitive because you don't want to be like completely disrespectful. So there wasn't, some of it was just a bit, oh, I don't want to ever smoke anything again because that's what a lung looks like if you've been pipe smoking.
Okay.
You know, so it's a bit more like, oh, rather than like, oh, this is horrific. You like my sound effects?
Because isn't there sections open or something, like at certain times of the year?
I think it was all open. They've got like 3 floors of stuff. It's really good. And I did take my daughter who's 8, and she didn't seem to be too bad.
Okay. I don't know.
But as I say, I did say that they're not real.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that would help.
Maybe.
Anyway, one of the expert witnesses was a lecturer at Sergeant Hall. And I went off on a tangent there again. So the trial, Joseph Bell was one of the expert witnesses.
Okay.
And he was thought to be one of the most prolific medical experts of the time. He was a surgeon at the University of Edinburgh. And he's actually known to have been the influence behind Sherlock Holmes, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So there's lots of like random things to do with this story. It's like, oh, wow. So he presented evidence on the gunshot wounds, while Dr. Brown, who was this lecturer at Sergeant Hall, put the skull back together to prove that the shot came from behind.
Wow.
And then lastly, there was James McNaughton, who was another another gun expert.
He's an expert on the band James.
He knows all James songs.
He can sing them backwards.
James are really good, actually. I really like them. They're really underrated.
They're all right.
I like them. They're not very cool. Sorry, James, if you're listening. Oh, my God.
Why do you think all these celebrities are listening? So far, you've apologised to Beyonce, Sophie Ellis Bextor, and now James. Also,
just
in the past, she has also apologised to Michael Sheen, like he's really listening.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love how you put, like, Michael Sheen at the end, like, after Beyonce.
Yeah, I mean, pretty close to the same league. Michael Sheen has better hair. No,
better
he doesn't.
Beyonce.
He has
oh
a
my God,
accent.
Again. Sorry, Beyonce. Mate, yeah, I would
Stop
agree.
Listening.
He's probably got a better accent. He's got a better accent than Beyonce, fair enough. Okay, so then
right,
we've got
sorry.
James McNaughton, who was another guns expert and a James the Band expert.
Right, brilliant.
And he conducted experiments on plastic skulls.
Did he
and
do it
divers.
While he was sitting down?
What?
James joke there. I said, did he do it while he was sitting down?
I hope so. I mean, God, that would be bad. Singing the song. So basically they get lots of these expert witnesses who were amazing at kind of convincing the jury their particular side of the story.
Okay.
They also had witnesses from the staff. So the staff at the house gave it evidence that they were joined by Alfred and Edward, and they took them down to see Cecil's body, and they noted that he had a small wound behind his right ear. There was also no blood or signs that a body had laid in the ditch where Cecil was apparently meant to have fallen and accidentally shot himself. They did find bone fragments and blood a few feet away from where the body had been moved by the two men, and they also found cartilages. So the prosecution medical witness argued that it was impossible, as you had said, that the victim would have been able to, like, shoot himself with one of these big rifles.
Yeah.
And they argued that the gun would need to have been, like, shot from much further away than actually in his hand, because there would have been a lot more damage done to his skull, and there wasn't any blood or anything. It was just a bit like,
yeah, that's weird.
Impossible.
Especially like if you're shooting yourself in the head, it's quite close range. So it would have been quite messy to put it.
There would have been a huge amount of damage, I would have thought.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't actually know, but I would have thought there would have been a lot of damage. And yeah, just like how do you hold one of these rifles and shoot yourself in the head? It's just...
I mean, even if it is an accident and he's like looking, maybe he's like looking into the gun. Do you know what I mean? Like checking the gun or something, and it's accidentally gone off. I get that. But it would have been a bigger mess, and you wouldn't really have it pointed behind your ear either.
Yeah. So they argued that the bullet had entered the skull from behind and not from the front.
Okay.
As would have been the case if someone was carrying a gun and then fell forward and accidentally fired it. So that's what they thought. So basically what you just said there, that maybe he was carrying it and then accidentally like fell and it would have gone to the front of his face.
Okay.
It's very distressing to actually think about this, because this is just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
They also argued that gun residue would have been found if the victim had shot himself, and they didn't find any gun residue, which is really weird. But remember, Alfred and Edward, when they first got back into the house, they started cleaning their guns, which is a bit...
Yeah, okay.
Why would you do that?
What did they do with his gun? Did they bring his gun back as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
They brought both the... Oh, with Cecil's gun?
Yeah.
I don't actually know. I'm not
probably,
sure if they
probably
left
did.
It at the scene. I don't know. The life insurance was given by the prosecution as motive for murder, and it was proved easily that Alfred's family were in deep financial difficulties. So obviously then, taking out the life insurance, get rid of Cecil, and then they would have been privy to that 20k. However, the insurance claim was not valid because the insurance companies are so smart. The victim was under 21 years of age, and because of that, you need your parents' consent, so actually it wasn't valid in the first place.
It is a weird thing to do, though, isn't it?
It's such a weird thing to do. I don't know how they got like approval for it in the first place. You can't just rock up like as a tutor.
Yeah.
And be
a
like
a random person's life insurance. It's a dangerous,
so
dangerous job. The moral of the story is don't let anyone ever get life insurance out on you, even if it's your husband.
I don't think I've got life insurance. I need to go and sort it out.
I've got it, but it's in Australia. And so the fee is draining the actual...
Oh, no.
Do you know what? I cannot be asked. It was like as a package, as part of my pension when I lived in Melbourne.
Oh, right.
That's how long I've had it for. And I just cannot be asked with the paperwork and the stupid forms. I've actually got a form in my drawer, in my work desk, to remind myself I actually need to do it. But I can't. There's never a day when I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do it
I'm
today.
I'm going to do this.
There's always other things that are more important.
I know, totally. Although, see, when you do that and then you actually get round to doing the thing and it takes like 5 minutes to do and you're like, oh my God.
No, because
why
then
didn't
I know
just
I have
do that
to get
ages ago?
Different insurance out and then I have look into that and I can't. No.
At least you've got someone.
That was a cow that just walked in case you were wondering that noise was.
Oh, hi, cow. It was a Highland
one. It was a cow. Yeah. Right.
Okay, so then the defence called Matthew Hay, who was a lecturer of medical jurisprudence.
What
and
does
police
that
surgery.
Even mean? Jurisprudence? That's not even a
jurisprudence.
Word.
Jurisprudence. It's like medical law and police surgeon.
Ah, is that actually
so
a
he's
title
pretty good
of a
as
job?
Well.
Jurisprudence?
Jurisprudence is like laws. So he's a medical jurisprudence and police surgeon.
It sounds like a character in a Julia Donaldson book.
Oh, bless.
Jurisprudence, doesn't it?
Jurisprudence does. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it sounds like quite a nice name.
He's on his way to school. Yeah. Okay,
So this guy, Matthew Hay, is equally as educated and skilled as the prosecution team. And he comes in and he completely disagrees with what they were saying on every single point. See, he argued that it was completely possible to accidentally shoot yourself in the head whilst falling forward.
Okay.
And they brought in like a witness to show how that could be done. And he argued that there was no trace of residue or blackening on the wound because of the bullets that were used. And then he said that the doctor had actually cleaned and dressed the wound before the full post-mortem. So that's why there wasn't any traces of it. The defence also brought in a number of witnesses who claimed that Cecil was really lax in his gun safety, so he would just... So what I mean, he sounds a bit, like, reckless and he's a bit of a, like, wild card, so he would just quite often go about with a gun and hold it really dangerously.
This does sound a lot like Saltburn, to be fair, so far.
I know.
Yeah. Are you going to leave before the end, though?
Do-do-do. You can do
I'll
the
finish it.
Singing at the end, yeah. Their argument that while it was unlucky, it was an accidental shooting.
Okay.
And there was no eyewitnesses to the actual shooting of it.
How can you accidentally shoot yourself in the back of the head, though? The front of the head, yes. It's quite awkward to accidentally shoot yourself in the back of the head with a giant fuck-off rifle, isn't it?
I know. Well, I think they disagreed. So the defence team were saying that it was at the front of his, so he had fallen forward. But
So yeah,
it was just like... It was very confusing, I think, for the jury. So they actually reached a decision, and what do you think it was?
It's not going to be not guilty.
So in Scotland, we've actually got three verdicts.
Oh,
so you've got
yes.
guilty, not guilty, and not proven, and he was found not proven. So he got away with it. The jury decided there wasn't enough evidence to convict Alfred.
This is when you need a Netflix documentary team to come in
and edit all it and then show beautiful shots of the mansion.
Yes. And then be like, and this is why. This is why. And then find some sort of expert that's a something, something. That is crazy. But then also, there's no witnesses except for them. Do you know what I mean? So it's quite hard to prove.
Yeah, totally. There's no witnesses. And I also feel like because both sides did such a good job of like gathering evidence, the jury were just like, we just don't know. We're completely confused as to like what actually what happened. So Alfred Monson just went off in his merry way. And then do you remember there was Edward that was with him as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to ask about him.
He had just gone off, basically went on the run, even though he'd been kind of named as an accomplice for this potential murder.
So was he not even at the court case? Did they not even get him? How is that allowed?
I don't know. He was eventually found, but no further action was taken against him because obviously there was this no proven verdict anyway, so they didn't do anything.
That is absolutely crazy.
They just got away with it, basically. Well, to be fair, we don't actually know if it was Cecil himself or whether it was Alfred, but to me, it sounds way too dodgy. There's one other thing about this case which is a little bit interesting. So in 1894, Madame Tussauds in London had a waxwork done of Alfred at their entrance to the Chamber of Horrors. They'd done a waxwork where he was holding a gun. Alfred got really annoyed with them and said, I'm not a murderer. Why have you got me and Madame Tussauds? And sued the company and was awarded one farthing in damages. So not an awful lot of money.
What year was that? 2000.
That was in 1894, so a couple of years after the murder took place.
Madame Tussauds has been around for that long.
Madame Tussauds has been around for a long time.
That is absolutely crazy.
What do you think? I think that this is absolutely mental.
I'm more shocked that Madame Tussauds has been around for that long. How are they making those figures then?
They must have done molds of people. And then use like candle wax.
That is crazy. I want to see the very first Madame Tussauds.
It's not going to be good, is it?
Imagine how creepy that
would
have been.
It's going to be pretty bad. It's going to be really disgusting.
Because you know how dodgy dolls were back then? Imagine how creepy a whole fucking wax room of... And was it just like murderers and stuff? I'm going to Google this. I'm going to Google the first Madame Tussauds and look up pictures.
So they had this chamber of... What did I say it was called? Chamber of Horrors. But I don't know if that was just one part of Madame Tussauds.
I am looking that shit up.
Or if that was.
That is crazy.
If that was the whole thing. But yeah, it's pretty grim.
Also, sorry, I realised I focused on the very much wrong thing. But yes,
that's okay.
He definitely did it. Unless there was an owl that flew in and then pulled the trigger on the gun, lifted the gun to the back of his head and the owl pulled the trigger.
I just think it's like there's too many like circumstantial weird things that happened in the follow-up too.
It was definitely them, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah.
What was Edward going to get out of it though?
I don't know. Edward is a sort of mysterious, bizarre person that just randomly turns up for a hunting trip and then gets involved in this. Maybe he needed to be there to be like an extra witness. So maybe he just didn't know anything about it type thing.
He's like the Kerry Mulligan figure in Saltburn that's just there for about 15 minutes and then disappears and then with good hair.
And then they get bored of her, yeah.
Yeah, and then you find out she's dead. We've really ruined Saltburn. Look, it's your own fault. It's been out for months. It's your own fault. Yeah, that is so bizarre.
So I think that story was amazing. I absolutely have not done it justice at all. But there are some really, if anyone's like interested in it, there are some really good podcasts. And obviously there's a book on it. And then you can go into the whole like Sherlock Holmes thing as well. And this surgeon that he was influenced by. It's just the whole thing's like super interesting and super fascinating.
That is actually a really fascinating. I've never heard that story. That I can't get over the Edward thing.
He just goes off.
Maybe he actually said to Edward as well that he would split the money with him. And then didn't.
He could have done. Yeah.
That's the only reason I can think of that he, because they obviously knew what they were going to do when they went into the forest.
You don't think that he just was there as a as an extra pair of eyes?
No, because then he would have had to have killed him as well.
Yeah. He would have been obvious, wouldn't it, if he was going to shoot
him? I feel like there must have been some sort of deal made. I'll split the money with you. I've got this plan. I'm getting rid of him.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
And also he wouldn't have left so soon after it happening if it actually genuinely was an accident. Like, why would he be on the run?
Yeah. Unless he was scared, though. Unless, this could go on for another 3 days, but unless Alfred had sort of like threatened him and said, I will kill you as well.
Or maybe.
If you tell anyone. And so he went on the run for that reason.
Well, he did sue Madame Tussauds.
Yeah, that's so true.
He's a bit of a cocky one, I think.
That is such a strange story. Thank you so much for the recommendation.
Thank you, Wayne, for recommending it. I was down all the rabbit holes for that one. It was amazing. Yeah, so that's it.
That is really weird. I loved that, though.
What do you guys think? Yeah, you need to give us your thoughts on it. I think it's a case closed, to be honest. I think he should have been.
It's very strange. I feel really sad for the family as well.
Cecil's family, yeah.
Yeah. Like 20 years old. That's so young.
I know it is. They've got pictures on the internet of them as well. And Cecil looks like a real sweetheart.
Like he's got a good personality.
He looks like a sweetheart. He's very handsome.
Ah.
So yeah, go and have a look.
That was brilliant. Thank you so much for that, Effie. I loved that. That absolutely had a Saltburn feel to it.
I feel like it did, yeah, totally.
I was actually imagining Saltburn while we were... We've really, like, talked Saltburn up.
I know. Oh, my God.
Not so much Beyoncé or Sophia Lispector, but, you know, we've talked Saltburn up a lot.
If
we've proven nothing, we've given Saltburn a few more figures of people that are going to go now watch it. And especially all of it, i.e. the end.
I'm going to have to go back and actually like watch the last 5 minutes of it.
I mean,
I literally was just, maybe it's because I don't like the song particularly and I was just like, oh.
Okay, why would you insult Sophia Lispector like that?
I don't mind the song.
She's backpedaling now.
It was, because I saw it quite late on, I think, so all of the like memes and stuff were heavily being played.
Do you think it's because you've been watching too many YouTube videos about people on cruises and that has affected your musical judgment?
I mean, I think it's affecting my ability to speak, to be quite honest. I cannot speak properly, which is, great.
We definitely need to do a cruise. I think for our first, not a cruise, because I get seasick and I can't swim. That would be the worst.
Cruise? Did you actually say that? We definitely need to do a cruise. No.
We need to do a cruise episode, maybe for our birthday.
Oh, right, yeah.
Deaths aboard ships. Big ships. Cruise ships.
Oh, they're awful, though.
We're losing really our mind. Ones. Right, I think it's time to head off. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, thank you so much, guys. Thanks, Beyoncé.
And if you haven't watched Saltburn, go watch it. I'm going to check out Madame Tussauds, the first one. We might put something on our Instagram about that because I think that's really fascinating.
If we can find the first Madame Tussauds.
Yeah, I think we should put it on
there.
That
would be amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to look for pictures.
It's going to be absolutely gross.
I don't know if I should ask people to review us after the rubbish we've spoken about in this episode and encouraging people to dance nude. But if you do like the podcast, we would love a review. If you'd like to do a dancing nude, whatever thing, up to you. You do you. And I think that's it. We will see you in May. I feel like we should have had the song Murder on the Dance Floor to like lead us out, but we can't afford the copyright. So, you know, that's the end. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.